Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ali, Ali.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. صلى على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be discussing, inshallah, today, verse number 65 from Surah Yusuf. And I just want to bring everybody up to speed, remind us of where we are in the story of Yusuf, alayhi salam, before we get to the translation, then what we find in the tafasir, and then, inshallah, we can find some practical reminders and inspiration from the verse. So where we are in the story is this. The brothers of Yusuf traveled to Egypt. They met their brother, Yusuf, but this is now 30 to 40 years later. They didn't recognize who they were speaking to. They didn't know the Aziz was actually their long-lost brother, Yusuf. The Aziz was very kind to them, welcomed them, took care of them, was hospitable to them, and he got them to mention that they had another brother, Binyamin. When he heard this, he said that next time you guys come, bring Binyamin. Otherwise, I don't even want you to come into Egypt. Now, the brothers knew that they had done some dirt before. The last time they were entrusted by their father with one of their brothers, they sold him into slavery. But they said, okay, well, the situation changed. We're going to explain to Dad, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, we're going to explain to him, we can't go back into Egypt unless we bring our brother. And we need our brother because there's a famine that's going on all around the world. We're in this the second 7 years, right? So the second 7 years has started, the famine started, not only in Egypt, but the surrounding areas. There is no other place that has food but Egypt. We've got to go over there and we've got to get this food from him. So they go back to their father, Yaqub. They explain the situation and they tell him that next time we want to go and visit the Aziz and he took care of us and he's a wonderful guy, the next time we want to go, we must bring Binyamin. And Dad says, do you remember what happened the last time I entrusted a brother to you guys? The answer is no. The answer is no. So now the brothers, obviously disappointed. What are we going to do now? And now we've got up to speed now. So let's read the verse. If you have it on your phones or in a copy of the Holy Quran, then we'll just read the verse and then the translation together, inshallah. This is what the verse says. وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعَهُمْ So the brothers have been rejected by their father. They tried to get him to allow Binyamin to travel. He said no. The boys go back. Their father's in charge of the family, by the way. Their father's in charge of the family. They go back now to try and open up their saddlebags and they find a big surprise. وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعَهُمْ When they opened their saddlebags, وَجَدُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ رُدَّتْ إِلَيْهِمْ They found that their merchandise had been returned to them. When they went initially to Egypt, they were going there to trade with the Aziz, to buy and purchase the goods their family so desperately needed. But now what's happened is that the goods have been returned to them. But they had no idea. If we remember the story of Hazrat Yusuf, he did it in secret. He didn't tell them he was giving them their gifts back. Whatever money or gold or silver or whatever they had bought, he secretly put it in their bags. They travel all the way back to their home country and there they see this big surprise that our goods have been returned to us. The verse continues. So they open the saddlebags, they see the goods are there. Then they start to speak to their father. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا O father, they said, O father, هَذِهِ بِضَاعَتُنَا رُدَّتْ إِلَيْنَا These are our goods which have been returned to us. وَنَمِيرُ أَهْلَنَا, we'll get provision for our family. وَنَحْفَظُ أَخَانَا, and we're going to protect our brother. وَنَزْدَادُ كَيْلَ بَعِيرٍ, we'll increase in one camel load. So we're going to provide for our families. Our goods have been returned to us. We're going to provide for our families. We will take care of our brother, and we will increase in one camel load. ذَلِكَ كَيْلٌ يَسِيرٌ, this is an easy measure. So first let's think about, or let's remember what we find in the tafasir regarding this verse. So the brothers go over, they open up the bags. Alhamdulillah, the goods have been returned to us. Now we've got to convince dad again, right? Because we talked to dad one time, Yaqub, and he said, no way, this is not happening. Okay, now we go back to dad again. Father, what else do we want? Ma nabghi, what else do we want? We told you the Aziz was a great guy. We told you how wonderful he treated us. All he needs is that our brother travel with us. What further evidence do we need? In a time of a famine, the leader of a foreign country returns our money to us. Do you need any more evidence? Ma nabghi, what else do we want? I mean, if you think about it, just from a practical point of view, in a famine, you go to a foreign country, you try and purchase something. Not only do they give it to you in full measure and take care of you, because Yusuf alayhi salam was hospitable, and then after that, secretly, in a way that you don't get embarrassed, they return your money to you. That's really generosity. I mean, that's evidence in my books. People are stingy, sometimes even stingy with their own family and friends. I remember hearing once a story that they said there was these two guys, and they were going in a forest, and then they saw a grizzly bear. And when they saw the grizzly bear, then one of the guys leaned down and he started to tie up his sneakers. So the other guy looked at him and he said that, you can't outrun a grizzly bear. He said, I don't need to outrun the grizzly bear, I just need to outrun you. So some people are like that, they're selfish, they look out for their own interests. But here we have a foreign leader going over and giving us back our own food and our own money in a secret way. So the next part, when they're saying that we're providing for the family, and then after that we're going to take care of our brother, maybe that's reassurance, right? Let's think about it from their point of view. Maybe the reason dad said no is because he's worried about the Aziz. If he was worried about the Aziz, that maybe he would have bad intentions for our brother Benjamin, we have reassured him because the Aziz is a great guy. This is evidence. Maybe dad's worried about us. Because the last time we took our brother, we didn't return our brother. We will reassure dad that this is not going to be the case. They said, وَنَحْفَظُ أَخَانَا, we'll protect our brother. So maybe that's reassurance for Ya'qub alayhi salam to know that we're not going to cause any harm. Then after that, they say that وَنَزْدَادُ كَيْلَ بَعِيرٍ, we're going to increase, right? They say in this way, we will get provisions for our family, take care of our brother, and add another camel load. We learn from some of the tafasir. They say this. What we learn from this verse is that the amount that Yusuf alayhi salam, each the loads that he would give you, would be based on how many people were attending. So if you had a group that was made of 10 people, for instance, he would only give you 10 camel loads. But if you come with 11 people, Binyamin, then you get 11 camel loads. And in the end, they say, ذَلِكَ كَيْلٌ يَسِيرٌ, this is going to be an easy measure. We go, the Aziz is like that with everybody. He's friendly, he's kind, he's just, he likes us. Okay. So now we've seen a little bit of what's in the tafsir. Now, brothers and sisters, what we'd like to do is, this being the holy month of Ramadan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the tawfiq to be alive for another month of Ramadan. That itself is an area that we want to be grateful for. One of the blessings of being in this month is the opportunity for forgiveness and getting close to God. The other reason that this is very much an important month for us is that right now we are waiting for the Yusuf of our time. Brothers and sisters, we have a long lost Yusuf also. And he's not going to come back until some changes are made. You and I, the Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen, have to improve ourselves. become deserving, become worthy for God to have mercy and then bring the Yusuf of our time back. So this month of Ramadan is a time for us to reflect on ourselves, reflect on our actions, ask Allah for mercy, do istighfar, to why is it that the Yusuf of our time is not with us? Brothers and sisters, one of the reasons that the Yusuf of our time is not with us could be this, that the Holy Quran doesn't have the role it's supposed to have with us in our lives. Let's ask ourselves, how much we're reading Quran on a daily basis, outside of the month of Ramadan, how much are we benefiting from this book, from the month of, outside of the month of Ramadan, reading Quran, interacting with Quran, benefiting from Quran? Obviously, Quran is not something to be read only during majalis or when somebody is dying, for instance. Some people recite Quran then. Somebody's dead, so now we'll recite majlis, fatiha, for this person. Maybe they'll get some thawab. But they're not getting benefit from Quran as they should. Some people recite Quran in Arabic, but for instance, the language that they can understand is English, or let's say Urdu, but I'm not reciting it in the language that I can understand. So I need to be reciting it in Arabic, but I also need to be reciting it in English too, to benefit. What's the message of Quran? How does God want me to live my life? So both are important. To learn the Arabic, to be able to recite, ideally to be able to understand the Quran in Arabic, that would be wonderful. If not that, at least we read some of the Quran. There's a verse where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complains about his ummah. It goes something like this. He says, Ya Rab, the Prophet complaining on the Day of Judgment, Ya Rab, inna qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura. That my people, God, the Prophet complaining on the last day, and hopefully not complaining about us, my people have abandoned the Qur'an. اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. What happens is that sometimes the Qur'an, like I'm saying, it's not part of our lives. We're not reading, interacting with Qur'an, reading Qur'an on a daily basis, even if it's a little bit. I want to read a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen to kind of give us inspiration to do this noble practice in the month of Ramadan, where if we recite even one verse, we've heard the traditions that talk about even, for instance, reciting one verse is like reciting the entire Quran. Remember, we have a hadith like that. But even outside of that, the hadith, which is from Amir al-Mu'mineen, is one that promises us one of two things if we read Quran. One of two things. This is what he says. مَا جَالَسَ أَحَدٌ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. No one sits down with this Quran illa qama biziyadatin aw nuqsan. He says when that person, so the person sits down with Quran, right? I'm going to read Quran, benefit from Quran. He says when the person gets up, he says they get up with one of two things. Either ziyada, an increase, or nuqsan, a decrease. But it's not that anybody gets nothing from interacting with the Quran. No, they get something. So what is the increase? What is the decrease? He says, ziyadatan fi huda. Either they get an increase in guidance by interacting with Quran, or he says, aw nuqsan fi ama. Less blindness, less darkness. So either I get increased huda, guidance, or less darkness. But everybody gets something from Quran. We're all supposed to be reading Quran, brothers and sisters. All supposed to be pondering over Quran. Supposed to be something that's part of our lives. I want to share something with you, brothers and sisters, because maybe some of you are looking for a little bit more spiritually. There are some mu'mineen like myself, lazy mu'mineen, who just want to get into paradise. If I can make it out of hell, alhamdulillah. Okay? Alhamdulillah. But there are some mu'mineen and mu'minat who are looking for more than that. The Quran has haqa'iq, realities. This is a great book. This isn't an ordinary book, right? Some people are looking for those realities of the Quran. There's some secrets. If one wants to benefit more from the Quran, there are some secrets. I want to mention some of those secrets. For those who have extra spiritual motivation, I want to get more from my life as a mu'min, as a Shia, as a Muslim. I want to benefit from this religion here and then there. I'm not just trying to only make it out of hell. I want to do more. For those people, this is something with the Orafa, okay? I haven't experienced this. Something we learn from those senior Orafa. Something from Allama Tabatabai. Ridwanullah Ta'ala Alayh. So we can know a little glimpse of what this book is. A little glimpse of what this book is. He explains to us that there are two states where the Orafa have special states with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those who want more. Ordinary Muslims, no, they can close their ears, they don't need to worry about this. Those who want more. With the Orafa, there are two states where they have a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to mention the hadith. Okay? He says those two states, one of them is during the Masa'ib of Imam al-Husayn. Sometimes, for those Orafa, this isn't something I've experienced. For those Orafa, during the Masa'ib of Imam al-Husayn, they have a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of those times is that. The other time when they have that special connection is when they're reading Quran. Okay? I want to just translate, because I don't understand this hadith. Translate this hadith, maybe we get an idea of what they're talking about. Okay? This is from, I believe, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam. What happens is, in the process of self-purification, the higher levels of iman, what happens is, ideally, the person is trying to get to a stage where they can witness, with the eyes of the heart, what they believe. To see God with the eyes of the heart. Amir al-Mu'mineen, as he's told us before, he says, I don't worship a God I can't see. His iman is different than yours and I's. For him, it's not fake. I'm worshiping, inshallah, on the day of judgment, they'll reward me. No, he sees. Okay? So now, special hadith, and then we'll move quickly from this point, because I don't even understand this myself. Okay? This is what he says. He says, فَتَجَلَّى لَهُمْ سُبْحَانَ فِي كِتَابِهِ. What happens? He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does tajalli. He manifests himself in the Quran. There are some people who can see God through the Quran. What does that mean? That's another discussion. He says, مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَرَوْهُ أَنْ يَكُونُوا رَأَوْهُ. Not that they can see him with these eyes. Right? Not these physical eyes. There's a special state for some. رَزَقَنَا اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ that they have with this book. Just so we have an idea of what a wonderful book we have. We don't only reserve it for majalis or sad occasions or only for the month of Ramadan, even if it's one verse a day. Now, because I mentioned that, how do we get to some of those higher levels of iman where we can experience some of these things? There are some secrets. Some secrets. Easy to say, maybe difficult to practice. Okay? But I'll share them with you. Inshallah, Allah will give tawfiq to all of us to practice them. There's a hadith which is recorded from both Shia and Sunni sources. Both Shia and Sunni sources. Where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says this. Basic words of the hadith are this. Man amila bima ya'lam. Whoever acts on what they know. Whoever acts on what they know. Because brothers and sisters, we've all heard a lot of religion. Different things, ayat, hadith, things that we should do. Whoever is somebody who's really trying to act. Man amila bima ya'lam. What happens then? وَرَّثَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the knowledge this person doesn't have at their disposal. Whoever acts on what they know, then God will give them. If we want to do this, brothers and sisters, let's say we do take this message from this month of Ramadan. We say, let's make a decision collectively as a group to do something that at least hastens the reappearance of our imam. Let's do something so this is not, or this is the last Ramadan that we have without our imam. How can we do that? By acting on what we know. Where do we start? Out of the many things that we know, where do we begin? Brothers and sisters, if we really want to make a change, wajibat. Wajibat. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we are, our approach to the religion, it's not effective for trying to bring God's pleasure and make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Sometimes we go about the religion in our own way. How can we go about our religion, practicing our religion in a way which is pleasing to the imam who's now watching this gathering that we have? How? They've given us instructions. One of the things that the Ahlul Bayt have told us is that we have to concentrate on what our primary duties are. If I'm doing extra activities, mustahabbat, great things in and of themselves, but at the price of my wajibat, I'm making a big mistake. Let's go again to the words of Amirul Mu'mineen. He says, La qurbata. Bin nawafil, there is no proximity, no qurba that one can get by doing mustahab actions, nawafil, not only the nawafil that we pray for salah, but recommended actions. There is no qurba that we can get through these nawafil when إذا أضرت بالفرائض, if they cause harm to me doing those obligations. So if there is a brother or a sister, trying to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing mustahab acts, for instance, good deeds, things that Allah wants, but in reality I do these things and I abandon wajibat. There are some areas, if you look at my life, you see certain wajibat, no, I don't do them. I do some wajibat, I like salah, I like fasting, alhamdulillah, I do them. But certain areas of my life, if you look carefully, you see areas of sin. Areas where I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't do this. And I still do it. So we have to practice Islam in a comprehensive fashion, learn those wajibat. And I'm going to give you a little bit of emphasis on why it is that we have to make sure that we're doing that. But first, some instructions from Ahlul Bayt. Brothers and sisters, some of us may be in the university right now, going to school. Some of us may have businesses right now. We're earning. Okay? What was the advice of Amirul Mu'mineen for people who were tradesmen, businessmen, tujar? How did he tell them to get closer to God? Let me read you this hadith. He says, Ya ma'shara al-tujar, O group of businessmen. He says, Al-fiqh thumma al-matjar. He says, First, jurisprudence, then making money. There might be a time when my occupation, I'm going out every day working hard, my occupation is taking me away from Allah. I'm violating God's laws through my occupation. We want to make sure, brothers and sisters, that whatever it is that we're doing, we're working, we're making money, it's something that's bringing us closer to God. Closer to God. So the Imam repeated this 3 times. First, jurisprudence, and then after that, earning. So we have to make sure we learn these things. Some people are a little relaxed when it comes to wajibat. When it comes to wajibat, there's some people, that maybe I'm one of them, they say that what I'll do is when I'm old and gray, then I'll start practicing. I'll make hajj when I'm old and gray. First of all, I'm young, I'll enjoy myself. Then when I'm old and gray, before I go into the grave, I'll become a haji or a hajiya, and it'll all work out and it'll be okay. If you ever see anybody like that, brothers and sisters, somebody who's lax on the wajibat, I'll do them when I'm old and gray, then you take that person aside so nobody else is listening and whisper in their ear. Say that you're not Allah's cousin. Not Allah's cousin. You don't have a relationship with God. You don't do hellfire. Let me read you a verse of the Holy Quran about the wajibat. The verse says this, Atiyu Allah, obey Allah, wa Rasul, and obey the messenger, la'allakum turhamun. La'alla, the word in Arabic, la'alla, means maybe. Okay, so what did God say in this verse? Atiyu Allah, obey Allah, and the Rasul, la'allakum turhamun. Maybe God will have mercy. Do wajibat. Maybe God will have mercy. Not lackadaisical, inshallah, once it feels good, once I'm old. No, right now. To the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatens the Holy Prophet in the Quran. This issue, I'm saying, nobody's a relation to God. Me and God, we're buddies, we're homies. No, nobody's God's homie. Okay. Even the Prophet is threatened in the Quran. Right? If the Prophets get threatened, then the rest of us, non-masumin, we know exactly what we're supposed to do. God says in Surah Al-Haqqah, Surah Al-Haqqah in the Holy Quran, verses number 44, and we continue, a couple of verses over there. What does he say? He's saying that if the Prophet were to make a fake Quran, make up lies about God, what would happen? What does he say? لَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ If the Prophet would make up false things about us, false sayings in our name, what will we do to the Prophet, God? لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ With the right hand we would get him. God saying, what will we do? ثُمَّ لَقَتَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ Then we would cut his jugular vein. God says it's about the Prophet, let alone regular people. So the idea of wajibat, bare minimum Islam, we have to do that. There is no other way. That must be done. That's the expectation of the Imam of the time. That's how we're going to bring the Imam back. So we have to learn those wajibat in a comprehensive fashion, make sure we're doing all of them, and then practice them. Now, let's go back to that verse. Because what we're trying to do with the verse was to get inspiration from the verse. How can this verse help us in our practical lives? How can it give us some reminders about our duties to ourselves, to our families, to the Imam of the time? Let's go back to the verse a little bit. We'll go to that first part. It says, وَلَمَّا فَتَحُوا مَتَاعَهُمْ When they opened their saddlebags, وَجَدُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ رُدَّتْ إِلَيْهِمْ They found that their belongings had been returned to them. One lesson that we can get, brothers and sisters, is the idea of helping others, right? Because what happened? The brothers of Yusuf go over, they open the saddlebags, and they see that Yusuf has returned their goods to them in secret, right? One of the ways we can help, brothers and sisters, our family members, or ourselves, is to help our family members in secret. Yusuf helped his brothers in secret. That led to them getting closer to God, eventually coming on the right way. One of the ways we can help is by helping our family members in secret, helping others in secret. We shouldn't make the religion one where the only time I do good and I do khair is when others will appreciate me for it. Rather, if we can be those people who help in secret, there's blessings for that. Let's read this hadith together. It says, "Inna Allah yuhib, verily Allah loves, and yu'abad fis sir." He loves that he's worshipped in secret, kama yuhib an yu'abad fil alaniya. The same way that he loves that he's worshipped in public, he also loves that people worship him in secret. So instead of when I give a favor, do a favor for my family member, for instance, for somebody, for a brother, for a sister, a mu'mineen, neighbors, that is something that I do openly, everybody acknowledge, everybody appreciate, maybe we can do it in secret. Brothers and sisters, I want to see how many of us, including myself, are willing to become unknown soldiers for the 12th Imam. People who work behind the scenes. Nobody appreciates, nobody recognizes, nobody praises. But I do my work for the sake of God. There are some ahadith that talk about certain people, certain individuals, who are ummalullah, workers of God. Workers of God. Amirul Mu'mineen describes, based on from I have in the hadith, apparently this tradition is from Amirul Mu'mineen. He describes what some of the traits of these wonderful individuals are. Let's read these traits and then see, inshallah, if they apply to us. If they apply to us, wonderful. If they don't apply to us, we'll work on it. One of the things about these wonderful individuals, it says, لَا يَعْمَلُ شَيْئًا مِّنَ الْخَيْرِ رِيَاءً These people don't do any sort of khair for riya. To show off to others. I remember once hearing about Bahlul, that he came and he saw some people were building a masjid. So Bahlul asked them, he said, who's the masjid for? They said, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bahlul waited. Summarizing the story, Bahlul waited. They were gone. Bahlul came back with a little sign. Bahlul's mosque. put it up on the masjid. When they came back, they said, hey, what are you doing? This is you. Everybody thinks you're getting the credit. Everybody, you're Bahlul's mask. If you did it for God, what difference does it make to other people? Let other people take credit. Who cares? It's for God's sake. So these individuals, how are they? One of the things about them is that they don't do any khair ri'a'an, out of ri'a', to please others. Another one, and very important also from Amirul Mu'mineen, he says that وَلَا يَتْرُكُهُ حَيَاءً. This is also very important. Some people, maybe they won't do things out of riya, but they won't do things out of shame. There's a good act, something that needs to be done. People need it. And I don't want to do it out of shame. I'm too big for this. I'm too important for this. Brothers and sisters, some of the battlefield commanders, the people who became shuhada later, they tell their stories, what they used to do. Some of these guys, you would see them cleaning the toilets of the soldiers. The commander, the general, right? For the sake of God, nobody is around, nobody knows, just me and Allah, cleaning the toilets of other mu'mineen. Real story now, let me share this one real story. His name was Mahdi Zainul Abidin. I believe it was Mahdi Zainul Abidin, one of the battlefield commanders. Or Zainuddin, maybe Mahdi Zainuddin. Anyhow, this individual, the guy's telling a true story. He says that I was a new Basij, I was coming to fight or whatever, and they had like these outdoor toilets or whatever, so I would go over there and I was using it. And then after that, I saw a Basiji come over, another fellow soldier come over, and I said, could you fill up the water containers? They have something they call in Farsi, aftabe, like a little water container you pour to clean yourself. He said, can you go fill that up? I want to use the bathroom, but I need to have water. So he said, I sent the brother off, and the brother came back, and he had filled it up, and he brought it back. Then I looked at the water. I was like, no, this water, it's not so nice. Go a little further. There's cleaner water down there. So I sent him off again. He went, and he brought it back. He said, incidentally, so alhamdulillah. The next day, a couple of days or whatever, he said he was giving, the commander wants to give a speech. I go over, the commander is the same Basiji I was sending to get water so I could use the bathroom. Some people are like, they don't do good out of anybody, to please anybody but Allah. They don't abandon good out of haya. No, it's khair, it needs to be done. So if we can do that. The second thing, so the first idea was the idea of being these soldiers of the 12th Imam, unknown soldiers, doing work behind the scenes and making it happen. Maybe there's a conflict in a family. I can go behind the scenes. I can talk to the person's father. I can talk to their mother. I can solve their problems. That's one lesson. Lesson number two. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, in order to repair a relationship, we need to give gifts. Right? Back to our verse. What was happening? The boys, they opened their saddlebags, and they see that their goods have been returned to them. They didn't know that Yusuf alayhi salam was going to give them this gift, but the gift given for the sake of God had an effect on them. They went back to their dad, they spoke to him, they convinced him, and everything that was supposed to happen, happened. So for ourselves now, when we want to repair a relationship, let's say husband and wife, they're having some difficulties, it happens. Parent and child, near relations, right? We want to keep those ties together. One of the ways we can do it, brothers and sisters, is giving gifts to one another. We have a hadith. This one is from the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, "Tahadu tahabu." Give gifts to one another, you will love one another. Give gifts to one another, you will love one another. We should give gifts. Even small gifts have this effect also. We have a hadith about that. Even if, let's say a husband and a wife, they're having a little bit of a problem. But the husband goes over and he buys his wife a card. Huh? Just puts a few points down in it. How much I love you, how much I care about you. And he gives it to his wife. Even the small gifts that didn't cost a lot of money, even that has this effect of creating love. So there are ways for us to do this. And things that we should definitely be doing. The same way those brothers, their relationship with Yusuf was repaid or refixed through these gift giving, we can do the same thing. Sometimes as Muslims, Now this happens, and I'm sure the brothers aren't like this, okay? Brothers are good brothers. Sisters, forgive me, I'm a bad brother, so brothers are good brothers. What happens is sometimes what happens, couples, after they've been married a long time, they stop being romantic. In the beginning of the marriage, when I was first getting to know her, I would buy her cards, I would call her up. Then now I have her, she's here, alhamdulillah. That's what she, right? But the successful couple are those people who keep in mind those principles of Ahlul Bayt, men and women. They keep in mind these principles. The next point is the idea of, again, like those brothers. We're going back to the verse now. The verse said this, right? Qalu, the boy speaking. So they open the saddlebags. They see the gifts inside there. They speak. Qalu, ya abana, O father, ma nabghi, what else do we want? Right? They start speaking to their father. The idea is this, that when we're dealing with other people and we're trying to convince them of the right thing, we should speak up about our ideas. The easy way out of a problem, let's say I'm in a problem and I've come to an issue and it's actually the right thing. What I've come to, the conclusion I've come to, is actually something which is good and right. And I spoke to my family about this before. I've spoken to the community about this before. And nobody's responding. The easy way is to walk away from the community. God bless them. I've done my part. The difficult way is to keep coming back. Like the brothers of Yaqub, we came to our father, we talked to him about our father about an issue which was desperate. We have to have Binyamin come back. We have to have that happen. But in order to make that happen, dad said no one time. Give up? No. We come back again, we keep speaking, we keep talking about our ideas. What we want to do is to keep ourselves concerned with the affairs of the jama'ah and the community. The easy way out is to ignore. God bless them. Let them help themselves. God give them more tawfiq. We make dua for them. The difficult way is what the boys are doing. Still speaking. Qalu. Ya abana. Still talking. Dad, do we get another chance? Maybe like this. That's the right way to be. Brothers and sisters, a hadith from Ahlul Bayt now. One of the things that they've told us is that for us to be practicing good mu'mineen, we have to stay engaged with the community. We have a hadith. They warn us. They say, فَإِنَّ يَدَ اللَّهِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ The hand of God is with the community. The hadith continues. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that the person who leaves the community, who separates from the community, this person is like the sheep who leaves the flock of sheep. The same way the wolf gets that person. The person who separates from the community, I don't have anything to do with them. God bless them. What happens? That person is for shaitan. The same way that the sheep that separates is attacked by the wolf. The people who, I don't hang around with Muslim friends. I have cool friends. Huh? Cool friends? Muslim, yeah. Nerds. I go ahead. Then what happens? Me and the shayateen. The person who separates. No, we need to make sure we keep that connection with our Muslim brethren, our Muslim sisters. Right? Not separating, not on non-issues. I won't talk to this person. I don't speak to this person. We're not together. God bless them. No, we still try to engage. I want to make it now a little bit of current events, and then we'll move on. A little bit of current events. Current events is this. Another hadith about the jama'ah and being hadith now. It says, Man asbaha, whoever wakes up, whoever comes into a morning, lam yahtam bi umur al muslimin falaysa bi muslim. Whoever wakes up in the morning and doesn't care about the affairs of the Muslims. I'm not concerned with what happens to the ummah, the nation. God bless them, whatever happens to them. I just, me and my own taqwa, what I do at home. Then what happens? The hadith says that person is not a Muslim. Not a Muslim. So for instance, right now we know of this crisis that's happening in Iraq. And that Takfiri group, the ISIL, Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, who are serving the interests of Israel and the enemies of Islam by slaughtering Muslims. There are some things, brothers, that we should be aware of. So the first point was the idea of staying engaged with the community. Now I have to care about even the larger community. What happens? The point is this, that when it comes to that Takfiri group, right, there are some plans that the enemies of Islam have for us. One of the things the enemies of Islam want to see is they want to see a Shia-Sunni war. They want to see that we start fighting our Sunni brothers start fighting us. They want to see that. They like that. That keeps Israel safe. What should we do here sitting in the United Kingdom or anywhere else in the world where we're not in the conflict zone? One of them is to keep in mind this, brothers, and explain to our Sunni brethren, this is not a Shia-Sunni war. The Sunni tribes have also joined and are also fighting against the Takfiris. This is not a Shia-Sunni war. So we have to make sure that we know who's fighting, who created this group, who trained them. Second point. So the first one is not a Shia, and make this clear to our friends and our neighbors. Second point, brothers and sisters, we shouldn't, when we get engaged or we see a problem, an issue, get angry at the puppet and forget the puppet master. Who's really behind these guys? Is it really we're just these Takfiris? No. The next one is for us as Shia, there's also some Shia who are promoting the same message of hatred. There are some amongst the Shia who are serving the interests of the enemy and promoting this idea of a Shia-Sunni war. They want to see fratricide. But if we realize what the plots of the enemy are, then we, even some of them, may be wearing the imama. Maybe wearing the imama. What we should realize as mu'mineen is that we disassociate ourselves from those individuals. Disassociate ourselves. We don't support that. That's not the message of Ahlul Bayt. Last point. The last point is this, that let's say we're in a difficult situation. We're going back now to that verse. Difficult situation, let's say with a family member, with other people that we like, that we know, mu'mineen, mu'minat, neighbors, friends, these people, we're talking to them, borrowing them this now from the verse. What happens is, did you notice the tone that the boys use when they're addressing their father? The point that the brothers want to express to their father is actually one that's right. We have to bring Binyamin to Egypt. The Aziz has said, and he's the second most powerful man in Egypt, if you don't bring Binyamin, you can't even come into Egypt. Our family desperately needs food. There's a famine. So they're speaking to their father. They're right about what they're speaking about. This is a real issue. But how do they address their father? When I'm on the right, the path of truth, should I be arrogant? Should I speak down? How did the boys address their father? Like a group of sinners speaking to a Nabi. Like a group of, so when I'm talking, we may change, like let's say we've talked about a point before, the person, let's say I'm talking to my parents, they haven't accepted, I'll change my tone, I'll bring up another argument, I'll explain to them, I won't disengage from them, I'll continue to try and speak, but if I do that, I don't give up on the person, I don't speak down to the person, I'm not condescending in my approach, just because I'm haq. I want to give you guys a little story. They said that once there was two ships that were, it was the communication between an American naval fleet and some Canadians. Okay? Americans and Canadians. So the Canadians, they see the Americans are approaching and they said, please turn the course of your ship 15 degrees so you can avoid a collision. The Americans said, no, you turn the direction of your ship 15 degrees so you avoid the collision. The Canadians didn't give up. They said, no, please, change your direction, otherwise there's going to be a collision. The Americans said, this is the U.S. Navy. Okay? Please, you do what you have to do, otherwise we're going to take measures to protect ourselves. The Canadian said, no, please, change direction. 15 degrees, please. The Americans said, this is the USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the U.S. Navy. With me are three battleships and support ships. Either you change your direction or there are going to be problems. The Canadian said, we're a lighthouse. It's your call. So sometimes we have to keep engaging with the community, talking, speaking to people logically, finding a way, and we hope that inshallah Allah will inspire all of us. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad to make us people who act on these teachings of Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad to forgive all of us, to forgive our parents, mu'mineen, mu'minat, maraja, ulama, and especially the leaders. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.